Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Behavior is not just behavior. Behavior is telling you that something's going on. And then your job as a pediatrician or as a parent or someone who loves kids is to try to figure out what's happening.
What is the most common behavioral health problem in children? It's not late potty training or temper tantrums. Those aren't really problems when they are developmentally expected and appropriate. The answer is anxiety. And actually, some temper tantrums and refusal to use the potty are because of an anxiety disorder, even in really young kids. How can a parent tell when their child has anxiety that might need treatment? And what can you do to help an anxious child at home? Today, I'm talking to pediatric psychiatrist, Dr. Elise Faluco. If you have tried to find a psychiatrist for your child, you may think they're extinct, but they are real and they live and work among us. Dr. Faluco will explain how you can get help from a child psychiatrist. You can find her in Norfolk, Virginia, at Children's Hospital of the King's Daughters, and hear her on her own podcast called Psyched for Peds. I'm Dr. Wendy Hunter, and I'm the pediatrician next door. I'm that doctor friend you call for practical advice about your kid's health. I mix the science of medicine with the reality of parenting. The thing I respect the most about child psychiatrist Dr. Faluco is that she knows how difficult it can be for parents to consult a child psychiatrist. So she created a podcast to educate pediatricians, other doctors, and even parents about mental and behavioral health disorders. Her podcast, Psyched for Peds, that's Psyched, P-S-Y-C-H-E-D, number 4, Peds, P-E-D-S, it has short episodes that are easy to find a topic you're looking for. They're really helpful for healthcare professionals, but even as a non-medical parent, her episodes can help you know how to talk to your child's pediatrician about a behavioral health issue. I've had a lot of surprisingly young patients, like 4 to 7-year-olds, with difficult to manage behaviors at home, and I suspect many of them have anxiety. Some kids can't sleep and they make bedtime impossible. Some, they can't even make it through a school day. And some kids have daily stomach aches or headaches. I wanted to consult Dr. Faluco and get her take on anxiety disorders at all ages. Does anxiety look different at different ages? And what does it look like in a 6-year-old versus like a teenager or a middle schooler?
Excellent question. So anxiety is so hard to detect because it has so many different faces and it looks so different depending upon how old the child is and also what type of anxiety it is. So anxiety for some of us looks like somebody being shy and sort of quiet, timid, self-conscious. Anxiety could mean being a picky eater or being very particular about what types of clothes you want on your body and what types of food and drink you want to put inside your body. Anxiety in little kids very often manifests as outbursts or temper tantrums. And that's the confusing part, because when we see kids acting out as an adult, your instinct is to think, oh, they're not behaving well, like they're doing something wrong. And it's really important to be able to step back and say, their behavior is telling you something. If they're screaming in the middle of the grocery store, that's because something's going on. Like we have stressed them out too much in some way, and we have to figure out what is upsetting them and how to help them learn how to soothe and sort of coach them to calm down. So anxiety in kids can look a bunch of different ways, outbursts. Usually anxiety can often present with physical symptoms, which we'll probably talk about later. Anxiety in teenagers looks a little different than kids. I mean, teenagers are more similar to adults in that just like when we get stressed and overwhelmed, we're not allowed to throw temper tantrums. And so we...
I wish.
I mean, some of us may, but we're not supposed to. And so in teenagers, it looks more like irritability. It looks like just like all of us regular adults, all, you know, when we're stressed out, we get irritable. We're more snappy. Things that wouldn't normally bother us make us frustrated. And so we're kind of grouchy and you feel like you're walking on eggshells around us. So that's what anxiety can look like really for all ages. It's just you're dealing with somebody who is close to the edge, is not feeling well, and you have to be careful how you approach them.
I know there are different types of anxiety. I know there's separation anxiety and social anxiety, but can you dissect those a little bit more for me?
Sure. What's so funny is as a psychiatrist, you get really excited about all the different labels and types of anxiety and the flavors, like flavors of ice cream. But the reality is when you're a parent or even as a pediatrician, dissecting and clarifying exactly what form of anxiety becomes a little less exciting and less important. But to answer your question, so separation anxiety, usually that occurs in little kids, and normal separation anxiety occurs when kids are younger, like around 2 years of age. And then you can even see a little bit of it when kids are first dropped off at school or first separating from their parents. And what happens is they're not happy about that. And so they protest or they cry or they kick or they say, I don't want to go into pre-K 3 today. And they just become very uncomfortable. And usually, developmentally typical kids will go through a little bit of a phase where they don't like separating. And then they work through that and eventually those symptoms get better and completely go away. Kids with separation anxiety continue to struggle with a lot of worries that something bad will happen to them or something bad will happen to their parents or caregivers when they're not together.
So are there different kinds of therapy for different types of anxiety?
Ooh, excellent practical question. Because basically, yeah, I think the reason why it... distinguishing, you know, splitting hairs about what form and flavor of anxiety is less important as a pediatrician, because frankly, we treat very many of the anxieties the exact same way. And in fact, we study them together.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the more common anxieties are generalized anxiety, which is sort of worries about everything, feeling tense, anticipating that there's going to be something bad happening almost all the time and in many situations. So generalized anxiety and social anxiety and separation anxiety, we all lump into one anxiety subgroup and we study them together and we treat them the same way, which would be thinking about a combination of cognitive behavioral therapy and then possibly medication. The only type of anxiety I would say that you need to really tease out because the treatment is slightly different would be an anxiety-related disorder like post-traumatic stress disorder. So if you've got a child that's experienced significant trauma or abuse, or has witnessed the death of somebody or something very tragic, those kids need a special trauma-focused therapy, something we call trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. But otherwise, all the other anxieties you're going to refer out for CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and or meds.
That was interesting that you pointed out that teenagers can be irritable and that can be anxiety. So it made me think, is there a way for parents to be able to tell, is my teenager being like a regular old annoying irritable teenager, or is this a mood disorder that I need to take to the pediatrician or child psychiatrist?
Yes. So a lot of different ways to try to help you, like clues that the teenagers can give you. One easy objective measure that I love is using an anxiety screening tool, like kind of like those... When I was growing up, I used to read Seventeen magazine. I probably sound like I'm 1,000 years old right now.
Oh, no, I totally read it too. Yeah.
And they have those quizzes like, are you more of a spring person or a summer person? And they ask you all these questions and then they give you an answer.
Okay, those were the best thing in the whole magazine, to be honest.
Yeah. Right, the quizzes. Mm-hmm. Like, what personality do I have? The SCARED form is a 40-item screening tool. There's also a brief version that's only 5 items that obviously is shorter and a little bit easier. And it's a form that the teenager can fill out themselves, where it asks them to rate their level of anxiety on a scale of 0 to 2. And that goes through all the different types of anxiety. So you, as a clinician or as a parent, don't have to try to figure that out. That's one quick way, is to just have them do this free anxiety screening form and determine what their score is. And so for the scared 40 item, the normal scared, a score of 25 or higher is concerning for clinical levels of anxiety. Another way to think about trying to distinguish between normal and pathologic anxiety, I think the first question you would ask is, what are they worried about? And you may not even use the word worry, because a lot of kids and teenagers with anxiety will say, oh, I'm not worried, I'm just stressed. And so I guess a better question, the best question to ask a teenager, is what are you stressed about? And then when you find out that answer, you have to do a little bit of problem solving and figure out, okay, are they stressed out about their test that's coming up? Okay, is that reasonable? Is this a big deal test? Is this a teenager who struggles in school or is really worried about academic performance? And that's reasonable that they're stressed out about that. The second question you want to ask is, you know, is their stress level, not only is it reasonable, but is it proportional to the stressor? So in the case of a big stakes exam that's coming up, like end of course exams, you would expect that a teenager is going to get upset and snappy and a little irritable beforehand, may have trouble sleeping. You have the exam and then it's over. These symptoms are transient, short-lived. They're not that big of a deal. They don't interfere with normal family life or other activities.
Right, they're situational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that they resolve on their own.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
As a parent, if you notice a change in your child's behavior from their previous typical behavior, that can be a sign there's something going on with them. And if their behavior is particularly disruptive and difficult and it interferes with your normal daily life, that's another sign there's something going on. An easy tool you can use if you think your child might have an anxiety disorder, and remember, they may not act anxious, but you can use this questionnaire called SCARED. It stands for Screen for Childhood Anxiety Disorders. I know it's the perfect acronym, right? There are two versions. There's one for kids to fill out and there's one for their parents. And it's helpful to do both and compare the scores. It's meant for age 8 to 18. And if a child's under age 11, you'll probably need to help them answer the questions. This is something that you can take to your pediatrician to discuss. I asked Dr. Faluco, what other symptoms can indicate an anxiety disorder? I myself notice a lot of kids come to me to be evaluated for frequent stomach aches or headaches, and I often don't find anything physically wrong with them.
There is such a strong connection between our mind and our body, and people of all ages, when we're under stress, it shows up in our body. We can't get away with it. So the most common ways that anxiety presents as physical symptoms in kids are with midline symptoms. So one of my mentors, Dr. John Walkup at Lurie Children's, is fantastic. And he kind of coined this idea that if you draw a line and kind of from the top of your head to the bottom of your body and kind of bisect your body into two halves, that you will get symptoms along that midline. So from head to toe, you'll have headaches, sort of like frontal headaches that are a really common sign of anxiety. Some people, if you go down to like your throat area, you will feel like a sensation of choking or tightness when you swallow. Go down a little farther and you've got your heart, if you believe your heart's in the middle of your body, which is not technically, but close enough.
Right.
You know, you get your heart racing and all of these things that we normally feel when we're nervous. Go down a little bit and maybe feel short of breath. Go down a little bit farther, you have stomach pains, like your tummy hurts a little bit, maybe you're feeling queasy, a little nauseous. You may even feel, you know, around your bladder like you have to go potty or you have to pee really badly. So those, the two most common body sensations that we see when kids are anxious are tummy aches and headaches.
This is absolutely what I see in clinic. And I think what a lot of parents experience at home, that they have a child who has frequent headaches or frequent stomach aches, and the doctor and parent are frustrated because they can't find anything wrong with the child. But these body symptoms can be caused by anxiety. How should a parent handle this?
When your child is presenting with physical symptoms that you suspect are anxiety, I would definitely go to your pediatrician and get help trying to sort out, are these physical symptoms related to anxiety, or are they potentially physical symptoms related to, you know, something else that could be causing headaches and tummy aches? Because you certainly don't want to miss that. Regardless, it's helpful if you're more of a super organized parent to try to keep track of when these symptoms occur. So our typical peak of these symptoms in a normal work week or school week would be Sunday night or Monday morning when we're transitioning away from the fun weekend and getting back to school, which may be a source of stress for some kids. That's when we tend to see the anticipatory headaches and stomach aches as you're thinking about having to go back.
That will be my first question. If I see a patient in clinic and I'm thinking, or the parent says they're thinking it could be from anxiety, is to keep a journal. So that's a great thing parents could do even before the visit. What about other symptoms of anxiety, like bedtime, doesn't want to be alone, or doesn't want to go to school, or just anxious in general? How can parents approach those things?
Yeah. So once they identify that they think these are signs of anxiety, if you've already kind of put together, like, we have physical symptoms around bedtime because we don't want to sleep alone. And so then it's a matter of, there's like some simple strategies that parents can do to try to help with anxiety at home. And some of these strategies are modeled after what we do, like evidence-based therapy that we would do in a standard therapy session. But the first thing that you can do is kind of help with relaxation. And so and there's a bunch of different ways to do this, but a sort of easier thing that parents could do is think about, let's say with the bedtime example, how can you help them relax and calm their nervous system down so that they don't have as much of the anxiety and physical symptoms? And so it may be creating a little bit of a routine before bedtime, like we're going to have a little bath and you can pick out your favorite little bubble bath fragrance, or you know, maybe it's like listening to a calming song or your favorite music for a little bit. Putting on your most comfy PJs, just anything you can do to try to get, you know, get into your body, help your body calm down, and ideally distract your mind from whatever the mind's scared of.
There are so many specific techniques and easy exercises you can do with your child to help them manage their anxiety. We have so many that I'm dedicating next week's entire episode to sharing how to treat anxiety, including things that you can do at home. Be sure to follow or subscribe to this show so you can get that in your podcast feed. Some parents may already have calming techniques that they use for themselves, and they don't realize they're using them to calm their own anxiety. So when you are feeling stressed out, do you take a bath? Do you watch TV? Go for a drive? Have a snack? Anxiety can be genetic, and that means if you have firsthand experience with it, you might be the best person to help your child. Do you tend to see that anxiety runs in families?
Yes. Mm. Anxiety is very, very genetic. So many of the families that I treat, really what's been happening lately is when we diagnose the child with anxiety and are talking about treatment, I always make sure to say, you know, anxiety is very genetic. It's highly heritable. And so it's very likely you got this from, you know, it's just passed down in the family, just like your beautiful eyes or your hair color or whatever else. So sometimes at this point, one of the parents will turn to me and say, oh no, I think she got it from me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This sounds familiar. And very often the parents themselves may not even realize that what they have is anxiety, because when they were growing up, maybe people weren't talking about mental health as much. And so that's just their normal experience of life. And it's, I've, you know, lately in my practice, I've seen a lot of parents when their children are getting diagnosed, now starting to seek help and support themselves because they realize, wait a minute, this is something that I can fix or that I can get help with. Remember that behavior is just your kids expressing some sort of feeling or some sort of distress. It doesn't mean that they're bad kids and just breaking rules. So when you see your child get upset, get stressed out, or for younger kids have a temper tantrum, try to step back and figure out or ask them, you know, not in the moment, but later, try to figure out what could be triggering that. Like, what is the stressor? And then after the moment, maybe asking them, you know, what were you feeling at that moment? What happened right before you threw your milk on the ground or started screaming and arguing with me about curfew? Like, what was going on and what were you afraid of? In the moment, you can't do any of that. When we're upset, our amygdala, which is that area of the brain that you know about that controls a lot of our anxiety and our fear and stress response, our amygdala is on overdrive and we're just in this fight or flight mode and we can't think very clearly. And so the best thing that parents can do in that moment is either give the child time to cool off and calm down, or if they're having trouble doing that on their own, to try to find strategies to coach them to go through relaxation or find some way to diffuse that energy and that anxiety.
How do you know if your child is dealing with anxiety? Most of the time, they're not going to say, "Hey, I have anxiety. Can you help me?" They might have fears and worries, but some kids might just be irritable or angry, or they may keep their symptoms to themselves completely and a parent may not notice. Some kids might act out, withdraw, be really particular about their clothes, toys, or food. Some of them may be really picky eaters, refuse to play sports, or even try to avoid going to school. They may have chronic headaches or stomach aches, difficulty sleeping, or have difficult behaviors and just seem oppositional. Teens may do some of these same things, but they also might use substances or start failing in school when they had done well in the past. It can be difficult to recognize that the challenging behaviors are because of anxiety. The best way to recognize it is to know that anxiety is a cause. Almost 10% of children under age 18 have a diagnosed anxiety disorder. It's not rare. Treatments can include medication, but they don't have to. And we're going to talk about that on the next episode. For more from the Pediatrician Next Door, find me on the web at pediatriciannextdoorpodcast.com. If you've got a question about the weird things kids do, send an email to hello@pediatriciannextdoorpodcast.com for a chance to hear your voice on the show. I'm Dr. Wendy Hunter, and I'm the Pediatrician Next Door. This show is produced by Red Rock Music. Make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever it is you're listening. I'll be back next time with more.